This is SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Chicago. Here's Jason Gotch.
970 off the high middle screen. Mondo down the lane again. Floater, no good. Rebound, Davis. Get up in there, and it goes, and he's fouled on the play.
Blazers don't block out the most dangerous guy on the floor for New Orleans.
Rough one for the Portland Trailblazers in their playoff opener. They go down back on Saturday to the visiting New Orleans Pelicans by a score of 97-95. Game two of that series coming up on Tuesday night. It is Jason Gotch with you. This is SB Nation Radio. NBA playoffs now in full swing. Hockey playoffs going on. Baseball, where they can actually play if the weather's decent, that's going on too. Plus the NFL draft coming up real soon. So all that on the agenda and more. But right now, let's focus on the NBA playoffs and that Trailblazers-Pelican series as we roll out to our guest line. And we are pleased to be joined by David Deckard from SB Nation. He is the managing editor of Blazers Edge, covering the Blazers and the NBA. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Deckard is his Twitter handle. Dave, I appreciate the time. Welcome to the program.
Absolutely, it's good to be here. Well, it would be better to be here if the Blazers were 1-0, but, you know, you take what you can get.
Exactly. That's why they play a seven-game series. There's a lot of time left here, and the Blazers certainly had an excellent finish to their season. But watching that game number one, Damian Lillard was not his normal self, as you know, David. 18 points, only 6 of 23 from the field. What did the Pelicans do to stop Lillard in the opener?
Well, mostly he looked intimidated when he went inside. A lot of that is Anthony Davis, but when Lillard got close to the bucket, he didn't really go hard. It was like trying to put up a shot amid a forest of tree branches. And so two things happened. Number one, he passed to fairly open teammates, but they didn't hit their outside shots, which is a chronic problem with the Blazers that they thought they had addressed this year, but apparently not. And the other thing is he drew almost no foul shots. He had two for the game, and he averages like four times that. And that really took a critical bite out of Portland's offense and also allowed all those New Orleans defenders to stay on the floor longer. So it was a no-win situation for Lillard inside, and that really corrupted the whole offense.
Hey, David, when you look at what Anthony Davis did, 14 of 26 shooting, 35 points, I know the Blazers had some success against the Pelicans during the regular season, but what do they need to do, not to stop Davis, you're not going to stop him, but what can they do better to contain him going forward in this series?
Well, the problem is that he exploded on the defensive end. That's their real problem. Offense, they could have absorbed those points. I mean, the Pelicans didn't score 110. They didn't even top 100, and that's really what Portland wanted to see happen. But the problem is they don't have anyone who can run Davis out of the lane on the defensive end. Nurkic, you can send him outside, Yusuf Nurkic, their center, and he's got a face-up jumper, but it's not a steady diet in Portland's offense. And Ed Davis, the reserve center, of course, is limited to about 6 inches from the cup, so there's no incentive for Davis to roam anywhere, and that's a big problem. On the other end, they just don't have anybody who can stop him, period. I mean, you see the value of a dominant seven-footer as opposed to a dominant point guard because they literally have no one physically who can match up with him. Nurkic is too slow, and Davis is too short and just isn't a good enough one-on-one defender out in space. So they've got no answer, and that's a problem. They'll just have to find a way to score around him to make up the difference.
What about Zach Collins? He played more than normal, 22 minutes. I know he's a young guy. Are they hoping to get more out of him, maybe to draw Davis out of the lane because he's got the ability to shoot a jump shot if he can get going a little bit?
Yes, but that's spotty, and a Davis-Collins matchup is going to be a disaster for Portland. I mean, they hope Collins ends up great, but that's probably 3 or 4 years down the road. In this series, they can put him in, and they might rely on his jumper, but if I'm New Orleans, I'm saying there is no way Zach Collins beats me in a series, so you guys go for it, and we're still going to walk away with it in six.
How good is this Pelicans team defensively? Rajon Rondo is a veteran guy. We talked about Anthony Davis. Are they just a really tough matchup defensively for the Blazers?
Well, they shouldn't be, but the key aspect in Saturday night's game was Jrue Holiday, and he was fantastic. fantastic. He channeled Lillard exactly where they wanted him to go. There was a couple plays near the end of the game. First of all, he stopped C.J. McCollum in the open court on a fast break, one-on-one, and took the ball. It was phenomenal. You never see that happen, particularly to McCollum. And second of all, of course, he blocked Pat Connaughton in what would have been a go-ahead layup with 6 seconds left. And that was a come-from-behind deal, and it was just fabulous. So if Holiday plays like that again, boy, the Blazers have troubles. But that was a phenomenal game, and Portland probably hopes that he comes back to earth soon.
When you watch the Pelicans, do you feel they really miss DeMarcus Cousins? And do you think they will eventually in this series? Or do you think they've adjusted well enough at this point, David, that this is their group and they've got enough chemistry going, and based on game one, they can be okay in this series?
It's a little bit of both. Cousins scored 33-point-something against Portland this year. He just murdered him. He's the one player in the NBA besides LeBron James that Portland does not want to see ever. So that certainly hurts their offense. But on defense, the Pelicans are actually slightly better suited to play in general defense, and I think also against Portland because it gives them more mobility if Cousins isn't on the floor. So I think defensively it's an advantage for them. Offensively, it's up to Portland to make them miss him.
It's Jason Gotch with you. This is SB Nation Radio. Great to have you aboard on a Monday. We're speaking with David Deckard from SB Nation. He's the managing editor of Blazers Edge. That is the Portland Trailblazers blog. And they also cover the NBA, of course, there. And you can follow David on Twitter. His handle is at Dave Deckard. Hey, Dave, McCollum and Lillard combined for only 3 free throws in game number 1. Rather odd them on their own court not getting the calls from the officials. We know how the NBA works. Is there something they can do a better job getting to the free throw line going forward?
Yeah, they've got to go harder. I mean, McCollum barely went inside, and as we said before, when Lillard went inside, he ended up being afraid of the finish. And I get it, because New Orleans is intimidating in there, but you know what? This is the playoffs. If the refs aren't making the calls for you, you've got to make them make the calls. You can't just go away from what you need and shrug later and say, well, we lost because of the refs or whatever it is. You have to literally go in there and create the contact. You have to go 200%, hit somebody's body, throw it up, yell, scream, hit the floor on your back like professional wrestler, and then make them blow that whistle. I don't think there's any way the Blazers survive if those guards don't go inside. I don't think there's any way they survive with the guards getting less than 8 free throws combined. Lillard often gets 13 on his own. To have 3 between those 2 starting guards, 3 free throw attempts, is just absolutely ridiculous, and it's going to doom them.
Hey, David, let's talk, though, about some of the positives for the Blazers. You mentioned Davis goes off for 35, but the Pelicans only score 97, and they win game one over the Blazers in Portland 97-95. So it's not like New Orleans had a team offensive explosion, number one. Plus, the Pelicans at one point led the game by 19 points, and the Blazers nearly won the thing. So when you look at what the Blazers did well towards the end of this game without finishing it, what can they take into game number two?
Well, a few things went right. They rebounded well, and that's going to be critical against New Orleans because, A, it's somewhat of a weakness for the Pelicans, and, B, the Blazers need to control the tempo because New Orleans is number one in the league in pace. That's what they want to do. They want to win 116-110. The Blazers kept the game in the 90s with their rebounding work. That was fantastic. Number two, the Blazers turned the ball over a bunch, which is not exactly an asset, but it's also not something that they usually do. So if they get back to normal in terms of turnovers, you figure that's probably a 5 or 6 point swing in their favor, and you hope that that, of course, will make the difference. The free throws are number three. Outside shooting wasn't great, but they did get scoring from players that they don't usually. I mean, Evan Turner had a fabulous first quarter. Zach Collins, as you mentioned, scored repeatedly. And Ed Davis acquitted himself well. So you hope that that good stuff continues and they just fix up a couple of the bad things that went wrong.
David, when you look at these two teams, are they threats to go deep into the Western Conference Finals? Could you see either Portland or New Orleans going to a conference final series in the West, knowing how top heavy the Western Conference is?
I mean, you'd have to tell me who's injured first. I think Portland has less of a chance maybe against Golden State. If Kevin Durant is another player that drives them crazy. Now, Al-Farouq Aminu can defend him somewhat. He's a smaller defender who gets up in his grill, which sometimes gives Durant problems, forces him more to the outside. But I think at the end of the day, Golden State probably beats Portland pretty easily. I think New Orleans has a better chance against Golden State. But, it's hard to see anybody but the expected two going to the conference finals.
Hey, before I let you go, David, and great information, we really appreciate you taking some time out for us here on a Monday on SB Nation Radio. I do want to ask you a big picture NBA question about the MVP. I know you follow the Blazers, but you also cover the league. If you had a vote, and you can pass on the question if you want, but would you pick James Harden, LeBron James, or somebody else this year?
Oh, it's got to be James Harden. I mean, Houston has the best record in the league. He's done phenomenal stuff. Yes, Chris Paul and et cetera, but the knock on Harden in years past is he's had stats, but how much better has he made everybody else? It seems pretty clear this year that whole team is better, so you've got to give it to the guy who is the core, the big stat producer, and the best player on the best team in the league.
David, appreciate the time. I hope we can do it again real soon and enjoy game two and the rest of that series.
We will try. Thank you guys very much.
Absolutely. There he goes. David Deckard, the managing editor of Blazers Edge, covering the Portland Trail Blazers and the NBA for SB Nation. You can follow the Blazers Edge blog at Blazers Edge on Twitter. You can follow David on Twitter at Dave Deckard is his Twitter handle. And these two teams, in my opinion, it would be very difficult. I agree with what David said. You have to look at the injuries going forward as far as what Golden State would bring to the table in a round two series. But realistically, Pelicans or the Blazers, I have a hard time seeing them knocking off the Warriors in a seven-game series, with or without Steph Curry. I mean, because you think about it, when you have Kevin Durant and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, even if you don't have Steph, that's a really good threesome to start with, and then you go from there. And I don't, as good as the Blazers' guard play can be at times, and it can be good. I mean, McCollum and Lillard are a formidable tandem. They didn't show it in game number one, although part of that might have to do with having a guy like Rajon Rondo on the floor, because he's a real good defensive player, an underrated defensive player at this point in his career. He's not as good as he used to be. But remember, last year with Rajon Rondo playing healthy, and the Chicago Bulls being healthy in their first couple of games against the Boston Celtics, the 8 seed won the first two games in Boston. It looked like the Bulls were going to win that series. And then Rondo got hurt and everything changed, and the Bulls ended up losing 4 in a row. So Rajon Rondo adds a lot, even though he still can't shoot, and he's not the same player he was in his heyday with the Celtics. But the Blazers have good guard play, but I don't think they have enough inside, and I don't think they have enough as much as some of their defensive alignments may be able to contain Kevin Durant. Even with Steph out, I think the Warriors would beat the Blazers, probably in 5 or 6 games. Now, the Pelicans may be a tougher matchup because you got Anthony Davis. Although, again, is there enough around Anthony Davis for the Pelicans at this point to knock off the Warriors? Probably not, especially not having home court advantage. Holiday's a nice player. Rondo's good defensively. But I don't know if they have enough scoring other than Davis out there to play a team like the Warriors. And I still think when you look at it, if Curry comes back healthy, the Warriors are still the team to beat. The Rockets have had a great year. I'm not trying to deny what they've done. It's been a nice season for them. But until a Mike D'Antoni team shows me that they can play defense deep into the playoffs, I'm not going to be a believer. I saw it with the Suns. Saw it a little bit last year with the Rockets, but I'm just not going to be a believer they're going to get to the NBA Finals past a team like the Warriors, especially if Steph comes back healthy. It is Jason Gotch with you. This is SB Nation Radio. Phone lines open for you, 800-777-2907. Again, 800-777-2907. Always on Twitter, at Jason Gotch is my Twitter handle. One of those postponements in baseball yesterday may have been a good thing for baseball fans everywhere. We'll talk about that coming up next.